to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
I'm glad that Jay has traded one echo chamber for another echo chamber this week.
I am. Yes, that's true. yes, I'm still broadcasting live from inside St. Lucia's Baptist Church or something. Yeah, I'm in my new studio, but these floors are ceramic tile, so I don't have a carpet yet. Sorry.
Yeah, if you watch the 30-second video Jay put on the Nerdpocalypse YouTube channel, he did get rid of the official Mexican sepia filter that he had on the initial video.
You have to. Yeah, that's just respect for where you are, man. So yeah, broadcasting live from the our southern studio, our very southern studio. Yeah, look, we're back on video. So again, I apologize for the sound. I'll try to speak close to the mic so that it doesn't sound so reflective. That should sound a lot better next week. The other thing is I'm not going to be looking at the camera as much because I don't have all of my setup fully done. So if I'm just seemingly staring down, it's not an offense to people watching.
I'll compensate by looking directly at the camera unwaveringly for the entire episode.
Yes, creeping everyone out. Absolutely no reason. That's right. So let's get right into it. Yeah, look, man, it's actually a fairly quiet week as it goes. I was pleasantly shocked. It is Tuesday, July 25th. Now, the talk is that the grand jury meets on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's a fact, not an opinion. That the grand jury meets on Tuesdays and Thursdays as far as the case for the January 6th grand jury. The talk is that the indictment, if it is coming down, most likely it will be, or the indictments, not just for Trump, but indictments for a bunch of people, will likely either be on Tuesday, which is today, and I would guess it's not since it's like 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and either Tuesday or Thursday. So, of course, our luck is that it will come out after we record.
You know what? I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. I think that it'll drop within 1 hour of you hitting post on this podcast.
Probably when I end the recording, not even post. By the time people hear it, they'll be like, yeah, dude, we got the news. You're a week late. Thanks. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what is this, the third indictment?
I guess because the civil trial wasn't a criminal trial, so there's no indictment to be had in that case. But this is the third indictment, the fourth really bad legal thing that's happened to Donald Trump in the last six months?
Yeah. It really hasn't been that long. So it'll be curious to see if does it hit, like, I know it will hit mainstream news and it'll be a big deal because it is a big deal, right? But I'm concerned about what the sort of echo chamber thinks, right? Do they immediately blow it off? Because Trump's been kind of teeing it up over the last couple of weeks. Oh, I've been getting a target letter. It's, you know, they're coming after me, blah, blah, blah. Like, do they get blown off? Do they just blow it off immediately, or does it still rile them up, right? Does it actually peel off some people and go, oh, shit, like, maybe this guy is really guilty. I'm much more interested in what those people do, which is normally the opposite of how I like to look at these things. But I already know that.
Let me ask you this question. So we had the sexual assault judgment levied against him. Mm-hmm. We've had the classified documents indictment filed against him. We've had the New York indictment filed against him. Right. At this point, like, who's still like, oh, I'm on the fence. Like, we just need something to push us over. Like at this point, like, if you're with him, I feel like you're with him till the end. And I feel like that if you're not with him, that enough evidence has been brought forward to sway you already at this point. Like, I don't think there's going to be a ton of movement in the wake of this dropping. I guess, like, an indictment for this dropping might force people who are still kind of publicly stumping for him to maybe have a bit more shame and right, not be able to publicly advocate for him as much. But then do you have the problem that we've run into in the last, you know, two presidential elections where he looks terrible in polling because people are just too embarrassed to say, oh, I voted for Trump, or I'm going to vote for Trump, or they don't answer the phone, and then they still go out and vote for him anyway. So he outperforms, you know, the polling expectations.
Right. I think there's very much a thing in MAGA of in 2016 to be like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. I'm ashamed or whatever, perhaps, right? Because he's getting all this grief, and you're like, yeah, but I kind of like the guy. Like, I'm not going to say anything. I can see that in 2016. I don't see that now, because people just are incapable of not telling you, whether you want to hear it or not, that they are for this guy, right? I saw a crazy Karen in a wheelchair getting arrested in like a Walmart, and she's like on something that had nothing to do with politics, and she's screaming. One, she's like, I will not sit down. I'm like, you're literally sitting. like, you're in a Rascal scooter, for God's sake. But she's like, Trump's getting back in office. Trump will be back. And I'm like, okay. Like, lady, this is about your groceries. Like, I don't think they can hold it down. So I think
you and I have talked before. Like, the most bizarre thing that, like the weirdest part of the weird, you know, thing that is his political career is how many people out there that have just completely fucking wrapped themselves in an identity that's centered around a politician as a cult of personality figure. I just don't get that. I don't get that at all.
I mean, I've seen a number of people, and I think they say it without any level of irony or understanding what they even sound like, and they're just like, I don't see anybody wearing Biden hats. I'm like, yeah, because we're not sycophantic losers. Dude, I'm not wearing a Biden hat. Like, look, I liked Obama a lot. I was super jazzed for his presidency or his campaign. And like, I'm not wearing an Obama hat like every day, like going out, like Obama.
Or ever.
Like, no.
Or ever. My favorite tweet in the wake of the 2020 election, I don't remember who it was, but some guy was like, all right, yeah, Biden won. I'm pretty excited about it. Now watch me not going around wearing a fucking Biden hat every day for the next 4 years like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, like, I'm not doing that. Like, it makes perfect sense. That's my internal monologue, 100%. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm so adamant about not doing things like that. I refuse to put any political bumper stickers on my car.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
Yeah, like, people are like, oh, I voted for Bernie. I'm like, yo, that was 12 years ago. Why don't you just take it off? Like, we got it, you know, or like Obama.
Weird because politicians aren't intended to be this thing that you support unequivocally. Like, they're not. Like you're supposed to support them for the things that you agree with, and, you know, speak out against them for the things you don't agree with.
Yeah,
there's no such thing as being as fucking standing a politician.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. I don't get it. Like, and again, I find it not to bag on religion or anything like that. But, you know, we're back on video. We do what we do. But no, I find it weird that people who are a part of, especially a Christian religion, that's like, you know, don't
false idols.
Yeah. The false idol thing. It's like these guys talk as if this guy is the second coming, and it's very weird, man.
It's that's how you get around the whole false idol thing. Like, if he was sent by God, then, you know, certainly he can't be a false idol. Like, he must be the real idol. I'm just like, God sure does pick weird messengers then, if that's your guy.
The guy makes fun of the handicap and fucks hookers. Like, all right, right, that's cool, man. Just as God intended. Like, and then on the seventh day, I banged out a porn star. Like, what? Pretty sure God wasn't cool with that. Like, God understands.
I mean, but to be fair, like, a God who, like, made his bones, you know, by flexing on chaos and destruction and murder, this is pretty on brand for that.
All right, God. Well, this is Old Testament God, right?
Old Testament God.
Yeah, like New Testament God. I'm busy. Like, no, let the old man deal with it. send down your boy. He's like, I got it. I got the perfect guy. A scumbag.
Look, just like Hollywood can't stop remaking stuff instead of coming out with original content. Even God's like, look, I'm just going to remix the OG and just let it rock.
Just let it rock. Ridiculous. So yeah, look, I am interested to see what happens when he gets indicted. All sides, but I'm especially interested to see what happens to the other candidates in the race, the other Republicans, right? Because this is, you're supposed to be in a political battle with this guy. Instead, you can't get off your knees from sucking this guy's dick constantly.
I hate to bring it to you. We talked a little bit about it before we started recording. They're already kind of telegraphing where they're going to be when the indictment gets handed down, which is to say, completely nonplussed about it. Quite literally, there has never been a presidential candidate with such a large target on his back from an incumbent side, or from a primary side, and they're just like pulling their punches, except for Chris Christie and Asa Hutchinson, who. Again, yeah. Is Asa Hutchinson running? Who knows? Does it matter? No. Probably not. But you know, Chris Christie will be there, and he'll be the only guy taking shots at Trump. What I'm interested to see is at that first debate, whether Trump is there or not. If Christie takes his shots, actually more so if Trump isn't there. If Christie takes shots at Trump, and if the other debate candidates rush to defend him from Christie's attacks,
dude, that's gonna be. Oof.
Which would be so fucking emasculating. I can't even begin to describe it.
That would be pretty bad. No, wait. Trump is a good guy. Like, dude. And here's the thing. Like, I have no doubt in my mind, as much as I don't like Chris Christie, I do have to respect his ability to not give a fuck when the time comes. I feel like he would just dunk on someone super bad for doing that. I feel like they would get embarrassed, dude. If you do that, you're gonna get laughed out of the race. Like you're just going to. But you know, obviously Biden has big competition on the left as well. I mean, he's got, you know, RFK Jr.
who's, you know, recent congressional hearing witness, RFK Jr. Oh my god. I know we don't have the story here, and it's fine that we don't, because that guy's a fucking clown shoes guy if I've ever seen one in my entire life. I don't know if you got a chance to see the Democrats just like on the committee just like dunking on him incessantly.
No, oh my god, I'm sure it was easy.
It was so good.
That guy,
Jerry Connolly was this close to being to basically saying, if your dad was still alive, he would be so fucking ashamed of you.
but you know what? Somebody should say it.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even half the man your dad was, Joe. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not. Like, you're really not. It's really sad. And it's because he's been given access to, or he's been given sort of unfettered access to money and exposure and everything. And he's never had to earn anything. And he has no, like, public service desire. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he could very easily have not been a lunatic, but maybe he has, like, brain damage. I don't fucking know. He talks like he does. And I don't mean the way he talks. I mean, like, his ideas. If he was of sound mind, he clearly is not. If he was of sound mind, him being RFK's son, he would go super far. Like, he just would in this country. People love the Kennedys. Like, you know, for better or for worse, whatever you think of them, they do. And if he was of sound mind, he could walk into the Democratic Party and be like, look, fucking Kennedys are back. And just, if he was just a liberal guy, like, just, you know, not even like hardcore liberal, just like slightly to the left of center, right? Like, where if he was where Joe Biden was, where he could appeal to enough Democrats on, you know, either sides of the Democratic spectrum. Oh yeah, he'd be a big name. He could possibly be president. Like, he could have been, but instead he has rocks in his head, so that's not fucking possible. Fucking moron. So yeah,
that to me, like, ironically, that to me could be his biggest like proof of how vaccines cause damage. He's like, you know, he could be like, look, I got vaccinated. Look at me. I'm a fucking lunatic.
I used to be smart. I was as smart as my dad. And now look at me. I'm an idiot. Is this what you want for your children? Don't take vaccines. I love how he was like, I've never said that I was anti-vax. It's like, dude, roll the tape. Like, all of the tapes, all of them. That's what you're known for. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? But good. I'm glad that guy is not making any headway. Speaking of the primaries, first story up. This is kind of interesting. Mitt Romney is doing his best Chris Christie, right? Like, he's really trying to tank this whole thing for Trump. Like, he's working overtime. And look, respect to him for doing that. I don't respect him otherwise, but, you know, I'll give him his credit here. Romney suggested that Republican mega donors are the ones who can take down Donald Trump's 2024 campaign. In a column for the Wall Street Journal, Romney encouraged GOP donors to pull funding to their preferred candidates as soon as their campaign sank, forcing them to drop out of the race. Why? Because Trump can still be beaten, quote, if the field narrows to a two-person race before he has the nomination sewn up. Romney even said when this should happen. Again, he's being very specific. No later than, say, February 26th, the Monday following the contest in Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. Otherwise, crowded field of Warren GOP candidates will, quote, they will split the non-Trump vote, giving him the prize. Look, that's 100% accurate. He's dead on balls correct there. The only way you beat this guy is you make it a two-person race. You have to. I don't know if that's DeSantis. Probably not. And the problem is I don't know that they have somebody.
That is the problem, is that they don't have the guy that's clearly like the dude that everyone should be throwing their support behind.
Now, Brad, you're being rude. It could be a woman. Nikki Haley does have a chance in the Republican Party as a woman of Indian descent who has a vagina, but go ahead.
Yeah. And again, like that's as of today. It is entirely possible, though not probable, that in the, you know, first couple of debates that we see somebody clear, like there's someone that, especially if Trump isn't there, there's someone that clearly rises to be best of the rest and, you know, establishes themselves as the person to get behind. But we have to wait for that to happen, because right now that person doesn't exist. And looking at who the candidates looking at the field now, I don't see who that person could be of the folks that are currently available. The only person that might maybe possibly have a chance is if the scenario that we just talked about a couple minutes ago comes to fruition, where Chris Christie goes on offense and everybody fucking, you know, goes to defend Trump, and then he immediately slaps back and just fucking points out how weak and small-dicked it is to fucking do that. And everyone in the GOP establishment is like, oh, like a fighter, like that's what we need, like that's what we need to take on Trump. And somehow he emerges out of that as like, yeah, this is the guy.
I mean, but look, I don't need a Chris Christie. Right, like
on the other hand,
right, like, is Chris Christie going to have the balls? Like, I think Chris Christie has a lot of balls to say. I mean, he's in New Jersey. Like, this is not shocking. Wow, he's a dick. Okay, like, that's kind of his whole political thing, is being an asshole. I think that Chris Christie, if he went balls to the wall in a like Elizabeth Warren style strap myself to Trump and blow myself up type of thing, he might be able to take down a couple of these guys. I mean, I really think if you had like, look, I'll be honest, Tim Scott's going to defend Trump. Like, he's going to, you know, well, I don't think that maybe. And so is Pence, because they're fucking dickless. I think he can knock the two of them out. I think Nikki Haley's probably smart enough to be like, damn, he taking on Trump. Good luck. Like, I think she'd probably keep her mouth shut.
It depends, right? Like it depends. What the other candidates in the race are actually running for. Because again, like, we know that Tim Scott is not running for president. Nikki Haley is probably not running for president. Vivek Ramaswamy is probably running for president. Like, he's probably not going to make it unless he's
really he's running for the Andrew Yang seat, which is a level of relevancy to people who don't understand how finance works.
So what you're telling me is he is going to get some buzz coming out of this, but ultimately go nowhere. And then it's the Yang Ramaswamy Freedom Freedom Party. Forward Party ticket in 2028.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there you go. Yang Ramaswamy.
Yangaswamy 28.
your racist grandma's fucking nightmare. I can't pronounce any of those names. Like, it's I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if you truly saw a Ramaswamy say, hey, I would even be on a ticket with a Democrat. Like, I don't know, Andrew Yang. I honestly would not be fucking surprised at all. Look, Ramaswamy is a prime example of, like, a perfect example of a bad idea, right? Like, he's very slick. He speaks very fast. He speaks very well. I don't mean to say like he's articulate because he's a minority. I don't mean it that way. I mean he speaks very slick as a politician, right? And he gives very base ideas that are not really thought out, but they're perfect for a non-thinking person. Like when he was like, the Second Amendment, the black people use the Second Amendment to gain their freedoms. There's no historical reference to that at all. Like, you're just making that shit up. It's a lie. Yeah. Right?
Basically, what you're saying is he's about to become a libertarian darling.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. Again, a person who doesn't understand finance, who just says things. And when other people don't understand finance or how societies work, they go, this guy is fucking nailing it. Like, how do I keep all my money, fuck everyone else, but also get all the stuff from the government that I want? Oh, Rick's fucking Ramaswamy is my guy. So, yeah. But I do think, like, he is there to gain a following. He's not there to truly run for president. Like, if he won, he'd be like, great. But that's not, he didn't sell books and shit. Like, he wants to be a part of that, like, permanent political right class that gets him taken seriously by a lot of people, not the majority, but by a lot, right? He's not going to fight Trump, but he's not, because he needs those MAGA dollars. You're right. Nikki Haley is not running for president. What's the dude? Rick Scott, or not Rick Scott?
Tim Scott.
Yes, excuse me, Tim Scott.
100% not running for president.
No, he is running. He is running for. How do I say this in the most offensive way possible? He's running for Attaboy, Vice Attaboy. That's what he's running for. Right? He is there solely to counteract the Kamala Harris narrative. That's it. He is not there to do anything else. I don't think Chris Christie's really running for president. I think Chris Christie's running for revenge. Like, I think he was like, I started with Jared's dad and I'm going to finish it. Like, I don't really think he wants to.
I think revenge is his primary intent, but I think that he thinks what I'm saying is a possible path. Like I think what 100%. He wants is to somehow be able to get one-on-one with Donald Trump, because I think he thinks that if he can go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump, nobody else on the stage, that he can win.
I think it is very possible, to make a great wrestling reference. I think it is very possible that Chris Christie wants to go one on one with the great one. I kind of want to see that debate though. Like, I kind of do, because Trump's a terrible debater and Christie's a prick. Actually, let me rephrase it. They're both pricks, and like, the problem is Trump is a prick in a way of like, he doesn't know anything, so he just blusters. Like, I don't know if you saw that clip this past week where they're like, what are you going to do about the Ohio rail system or something? He's like, yeah, we were working on that. And because of the election, we didn't have a chance to. It's a real shame what's happening. Like, he didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. Like, I didn't even know what that person was talking about. So I'm not going to pretend like I knew. But it was obvious that he was unaware, which has got to be fairly embarrassing, because you're running for president. You're like, fuck, I don't know what the fuck that is. But he's allowed to bluster And so they're just like, oh, you say he's going to fix it now, you know? But I feel like if that kind of question came up and he didn't know and he gave some like boilerplate answer, Christie would be like, you notice that? He don't know what the fuck that is. Like, he would just call it out. Where you would never get another Republican to do that. And that's what I look forward to. Christie is an asshole, but Christie actually is fairly smart. So, like, I mean, he's a capable guy. He's a scumbag, but he's a capable guy. So I could see him, that being a dangerous person to have to go one-on-one with.
And that specific situation that you mentioned is one of the glaring examples of how Trump just isn't very quick on his feet. Never really has been. Because, like, even if you didn't know what the fuck that, you know, that person was talking about, you could pick up context clues. And you might not, you know, be able to speak to that project specifically, but you could be like, oh, you know, we had a lot of really great infrastructure plans that we had planned out, but because, you know, because the election was stolen from me, you know, we didn't have a chance to implement them, but, you know, right, we'd be looking at all sorts of infrastructure things, and like, if I got reelected, like, you could politics bullshit your way through that answer, even if you were even a mildly competent politician.
Right. And look, all politicians run into that. You can't expect them to know every fucking thing about everything. I mean, that's ridiculous. But yeah, you try to make it the least obvious thing in the world. But his was like, oh, dude, this dude had never heard of this. Like, it was fucking funny. I mean, at least he didn't do what was it, Gary Johnson? Like, what is Aleppo?
What's Aleppo? Hey, you know what? Props to Gary Johnson for honesty.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know anything
about foreign policy. I'm only running for president of the United States.
Like, dude, I'll
let my vice president do that.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I'm going to smoke some more weed. That's what I'm going to do. Sit on this park bench and get lit. Back then when we just had unserious candidates who were not taken seriously. What an idea. So yeah, look, to Romney's point, I think the two-person strategy, the two-person race strategy, that's a good one. And more to his point,
I think it's the only way they can win, anyone could beat Trump, is if you get it down. And again, we don't have to go too far back to see an example of this. This is how Obama was able to win in 2008. Like if there was a bunch of Democrats in the race, Clinton would have cruised to that nomination because there would have been too many other votes that were splitting off from her. But because there was one candidate that, you know, support solidified behind, that made it easier to go toe to toe. And then when you contrasted them directly against one another, it was like, oh shit, like, this Obama guy is pretty fucking good. Like, we should probably just vote for him.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a winning strategy. That is exactly the opposite of what happened in 2016 primary for the Republicans. Yeah. They kept the field way too open, and Trump was just like, fuck out of here, and just crushed them.
Right. And he was able to build momentum because he was, it's kind of the same principle. I don't know if you've ever been to a group interview or conducted a group interview, but it's the same kind of principle. We're like a group interview, like, you bring in 10 people and you ask a lot of like really generic questions, and you're not really listening to the answers to those questions. You're seeing who the people are who stand out among that crowd. And those are the people that you follow up with. That's all primaries kind of are, really, at the end of the day. It's a group interview where you happen to know about some of the people before they show up that day.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Romney's trying to tank this thing for Trump. Respect it. I do. Like, you got to do something, man. You cannot let this guy win again. Here's one of the reasons why you can't let this guy win again. This guy, Donald Trump's popularity is in a fucking free fall, like a stone in a fucking pool, man. Donald Trump's appeal has sunk among Republicans, a new poll finds. Let's see, where is this poll? I think it's the AP poll or something like this.
That's Pew
Research. Excuse me. So apparently the former president who faces criminal indictments in two cases, possibly a third, according to his Pew Research poll, it found that 63% of Americans of all political affiliations have an unfavorable opinion of Trump. Again, that's 63%. That's an increase from 60% last year. Great. It's only going up. At 66%, the majority of those who identify as Republicans or Republican-leaning still view the former president in a favorable light. But that is 9 percentage points lower than it was last July at 75%. Dude, the fact that only 66% of Republicans are jazzed for this guy is a fucking disastrous number, right? Like, this guy had favorabilities in the well into the 90s after January 6th.
But why are we surprised, though? Because we always said that, like, his MAGA base is like a quarter to a third of the Republican electorate. So that kind of lines up very nicely with those numbers there. So,
yeah. So they're the only things left. And look, these people are there. Like, if I'm regular Republicans, right? If I'm like Mitch McConnell and stuff like that, these numbers scare the shit out of me. Not from just the perspective of, oh no, we might lose the presidency. Like, I don't think McConnell cares about that. He cares about the Senate, because that's where the real power is. But there's also the idea of, if these people are such crazy MAGA freak shows, what happens if Trump loses? Do these, and not all of them, obviously, but I think you lose a good percentage of these people just walking the fuck away. It's being like, I'm not voting.
Well, either that or, so there's two ways to view this. So if Trump wins the primary, you run the risk of a lot of Republicans just staying home, like not even voting for Biden or Democrats, but just staying home and just like, fuck this, like I'm not doing it, which could cost you in Senate races. If Trump loses, you run the risk of MAGA Republicans turning on the fucking party and just kind of going chaos agent in the general election, and then not coming out, either staying home or voting for the libertarian idiot that's running on the ticket aside with your, you know, regular Republican dude
right
that's on there as well. So like, I don't think it's good for them either way. And Jennifer Rubin wrote a piece in the Post earlier this week that I read as well, that kind of talks about like how if Trump does get nominated, they should have seen this coming, that it's a huge problem, because here you have, he would be running up against Biden. It would be a rematch of 2020. And you have everything that's happened since that election, January 6th, multiple indictments. I'm sure he's lost more Republicans since then. But the other thing that's really interesting that I didn't realize is that Gen Z voters have, by the time we get to the 2024 election, will have net gained 52 million eligible voters over boomers. Like there will be, like the difference between boomers coming in, or Gen Zers coming in to the electorate, and boomers dying out of the electorate, is net 52 million to the Gen Zers. And those are people that are not very likely to vote for a Donald Trump or any Republican, for that matter. So
52 million?
Now that's just eligible voters. That's not necessarily registered voters or people that are actually going to vote.
Right, but that's a big fucking number, dude.
That's a huge fucking number. And what you'd be then asking Trump to do is to somehow outperform what was already like a disappointing result in 2020. And somehow he has to do better than that with less with less people to draw from in order to do it.
And this is the thing, is that's a simple thing to understand, right? It's a really super simple thing to understand, that here you have 52 million eligible voters swinging in a direction that is opposite your candidate, right? You're saying that because you read it and you're like, okay, here's an intelligent thing to consider. You can explain this to a MAGA person and they're going to go, that's bullshit, I don't believe it. And that's the problem, is like those basic facts. Not that necessarily these people are going to vote for Biden over Trump, but the fact that you have a 52 million person advantage potentially is insane. That, look, that's part of the reason why there's a number of stories we have this week that you're seeing Republicans going super hard at the state level, because they are well aware of this, right? Like, there's a difference between being a Republican and being a MAGA Republican, like, cheerleader, right? Because there are people in the Republican Party who are like, they know what their base is, they know who they appeal to, they know who they do not appeal to, and they don't want to change, and that's fine, I guess. But they also understand the political ramifications of that. And it's like, what the political ramifications of that are, we are going to lose power on the federal level. And we're not going to be able to get it back. Because this is simply, people tend to vote in presidential elections, but they don't vote in all these other elections. So we need to sew up power as much as we can on the local level before these motherfuckers take completely control, right? It's to hold on the minority rule in the states. And they are well aware of this. Like, they're literally just defying the Supreme Court, right? Like, to keep their power. They're doing it for in their eyes, for very good reason. Republicans, like these MAGA idiots who don't pay attention to statistics and don't believe in facts and stuff like that, this stuff is going to hit them like a fucking ton of bricks because they don't see it coming, right? They're going to be screaming about a red wave. And it's like, yo, that's a 52 million person difference. What the fuck
are you talking about? I just double checked to be clear that that's the net difference between when he won in 2016 and 2010 and potentially.
But still, that's fucking
but,
huge.
But yeah, still an enormous shift.
Right. And he's even more, I mean, we just talked about his favorability. His favorability is even lower. People now, he doesn't have, it sounds silly, but he doesn't have the element of surprise anymore. Right? That was the big appeal of
him that's not,
in 2016.
That's not silly. If anything, the fact that he was a complete political wild card, not running, but what he was going to be like as president in 2016, I think retrospectively, you can say 100% was the biggest advantage that he had. The fact like we could suppose what a Trump presidency was going to be like. And spoilers, a lot of us that were fucking on the show during that time were right about what the end result was going to be. Right. But we didn't know. We can only speculate. And in 2020, we knew because we had a body of work that we could look back on to work. See.
A body of executive time, if you will.
Yes, to see what that looks like. So you're right. Like him not being a political unknown is an enormous disadvantage for him.
Yeah. And look, that's – there is no coming, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Blah, blah. Nah, dude, you had 4 years and you ain't do shit. You didn't do a lot of things you said you were going to do. Like, I didn't realize this. This story totally passed me by. I mean, there's a million things that are going on all the time. But did you realize in 2022, Biden got Mexico to make this agreement for them to pay like, I want to say it was like $1.5 billion to do smart technology at the border, like, to, you know, like work on like smart wall technology. So like Biden literally is building a smart wall and getting Mexico to pay for it. Like, he literally did the thing that you said that your guy was going to do.
That's gotta burn you up, Jay, is that your tax dollars are now paying for your, to make it harder for your compatriots to get over to the United States.
No. It's great down here. Again, the Southern Studio is lovely. But yeah, it's just wild. Like I was thinking about this earlier. Like, what is going to be, right? Like, lock her up and build a wall. Like, those were the chants, right? Like, the back in the day, like, everybody, build the wall. We're going to do it, guys. Like, what is the chant now? Get back in office. More corruption. Like, I don't, what's the rally cry? Is January 6th?
That's what's funny, though, is that, like, when you hear him on the stump, all he's doing is playing the greatest hits. Like, what the fuck? Like, what's the shit he's saying? Still saying Make America Great Again. Still talking about how he's going to drain the swamp for real this time, though, I guess. you know what I mean? Like, it's all the same bullshit.
Yeah.
Because that's all he has. He's like, I'd work the first time. It'll work again. Like, no, it won't. And again, like, drain the swamp, like, I can't believe he kind of tried to still run with that as the incumbent president in 2020. Like, that shit was wild to me, where he's like, oh, we're going to root out the deep state. And like, bro, you are the deep state. Like, that's you. It's like the Spider-Man meme.
I mean, come on, man.
Like, that's so fucking crazy that he actually attempted to run on that. At least he had the forethought to change the Make America Great Again slogan. Keep America Great did not quite roll off the tongue the same way, obviously, but, you know, at least he did change it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very interesting. Like, it's,
yeah,
it will be really funny to watch.
I have to point out two things in this article as well. First of all, it says 8% of Democrats view Trump favorably. Again, as always in these situations, I had to ask, where the fuck are these Democrats? And can I punch them in the face? Number one. Number two.
Does Robert F. Kennedy. Does he count for 8%?
Yeah, I guess, there you go. I guess whatever RFK polls at, that's the percentage of Democrats that view Trump favorably. My other favorite part is they reference a quote that Lisa Murkowski, Republican senator from Alaska, made to The Hill this past May in the wake of what if it comes down to Trump and DeSantis Republican primary. Her quote, if that is the face of the Republican party, if that is the face of the Republican Party, if that's the contest, Republicans are doomed. kind of calling back to the old Lindsey Graham. If we nominate this guy, we're gonna lose,
and we're gonna get everything that we deserve.
Yeah.
Look, Lindsey's still right about that. Like, he's still right, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully, he's about to get fucking indicted for it. You dumb asshole.
You know what? I can't wait until the Lindsey Graham when he's retired from politics and. You know, and then he can finally be honest and be like, yeah, you know, like I was right back when I said that and I remained right about it. I just couldn't act like it because I'm a fucking ballless piece of crap.
Like, first off, this is my boyfriend. We've been together for 35 years, right? And I hate that I had to pretend who I was or pretend who I wasn't. And then he could talk shit on Trump. Like, dude, it's fine. Come out of the closet. Yeah. It's been forever.
We should bump up the story to talk about the fact that Alabama Republicans are just like, oh, like the Supreme Court told us to fucking draw a new map. How about you fucking eat my ass? How about that?
Look, this is a wild story, right? So the Supreme Court was like, listen, Alabama, you guys are trying to fuck over black people again.
I have to pause again. Like we said when we covered this story a couple weeks ago. This Supreme Court said your map is too racist.
Right.
This Supreme Court.
To the Republicans of all places.
Right. Like even fucking I'm so proud to set fire to the Voting Rights Act. John Roberts was like, I fucking hate the Voting Rights Act, but this is even too far for me. This is crazy in my eyes.
It's insane. So Alabama Republicans on Friday defied the U.S. Supreme Court, yes, that Supreme Court, order by passing a new congressional map that includes only one majority black district. The bill passed the House 75-28 vote after the Senate voted 24-6 in favor of the revised map. So basically they were trying to get a second district. The Supreme Court reaffirmed a federal court order to include two districts where black voters make up voting age majorities, or something quite close to that. But on Friday, state Republicans approved this new map with just one majority black seat, and the second district that is approximately 40% black.
This is a problem is that I think Alabama has, I want to say, 9 congressional seats, if I'm not mistaken, or in the House, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But their population is 25% black. Like, literally a quarter of the population in Alabama is black, yet they have 1 of 9 congressional districts where they can elect a representative that best represents them because of how gerrymandered the state is.
Right. So, yeah, so the Supreme Court's like, hey, man, you can't do this. This is incredibly fucked up. Give them another district. And so, like I said, Republicans were like, no, we're not going to do that. So
now
I guess I asked the question. Are blue states allowed to just defy the Supreme Court without retribution? Because if that's the case, why are we even having conversations about abortion laws?
True.
I mean, granted, they don't give a fuck what Republicans say anyway, as far as how the states run. But like, why does any state do anything? Oh, is there a gun, open gun carry law? You know, because your blue state is affected by this? No, fuck off. Nope. We're not doing it. You know what? Yeah. Frankly, I think this is the way that you rein the court back in to some extent. Start ignoring them. Just start ignoring them. Fuck them. Fuck them. And then you know what you have? You have a lawless fucking situation, and the Supreme Court means nothing. Oh, well. Oh, well, that's on you. That's on you.
But again, like this is also the thing that I continue to be flummoxed by with Republicans. Like, is this the fight you really want to pick? Because like you said, like if they openly defy this, which they currently are, and there's no retribution, there's no way to enforce, and the Supreme Court's like, well, we gave it our best shot. Like, you know, sorry, we can't hold a gun to their heads and make them do this. You're right. Like, there is going to be a super blue state that does something completely that they know the Supreme Court's going to be like, no, you can't do this. And they're going to be like, and they're going to have a attorney general, you know, who takes that ruling and fucking wads it up and wipes his ass with it and flushes it down the toilet. Yep. And that is going to piss off Republicans. Or you could just fucking give an inch, because that's all that the Supreme Court is requiring you to give in this situation. It's requiring you to give an inch. But no, you have to be fucking obstinate.
And this is a prime example of why Republicans, no matter what they say, can never get rid of the scourge of racism in their party. Because given a little thing like this, to give an inch, to give black people a well-deserved second district, they can't, because racism. This is why they'll never win over a bunch of black conservatives and like actually do better in national elections and like rip black people out of the grips of the Democratic Party. They can't help themselves. They're like, oh, we want to, but like racism is so good. We can't help it. We can't help it. So we got to fuck over these black people for no reason. We will defy the Supreme Court. That's our Supreme Court. The Supreme Court that does all of our bidding, gives us all of the sweet candy, crazy bullshit we want. We won't even listen to them, because it might take away just an ounce of that sweet, sweet racism that we know and love. Like, that's how fucked up that party is, that they won't even just go, fuck it, all right. But like, we got all this other shit. They're like a dragon sitting on a bunch of gold coins, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, but can I have one of those coins? No, they're all mine. They're all my coins. It's like, yeah, but you have like a million coins. It's like, yeah, but all of those are mine. Like, all right, like, but if you let me have this one, I'll bring you a bucket of coins. They're like, nah, I don't trust it. like it's weird. It's so fucking weird, man. And they fundamentally cannot let go of being shitty to minorities for a second to realize that this does nothing to take away from them. It doesn't do anything to take away from them.
No.
They still have ultimate control of the entire fucking state, but they just will not give an inch. But more importantly, I guess the Supreme Court's rulings are up for grabs. If you're a Democrat, fuck it, dude.
Like I said, I need a Democratic Attorney General out there now to just fucking flip the bird I mean, wait to see what happens with this. But like I said, if nothing comes of it, and there's no way to enforce that they actually do it, be like, cool. Remember that Heller decision? Fuck that. No guns at all in the state. What are you gonna do about it, Supreme Court?
Fucking try. What are you gonna do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is not fair. Life's not fair, I guess. Go live in a red state.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, I'm not sure how this country survives when you have a party that doesn't follow the rules of the Supreme Court when they're brought down on them. You have a Supreme Court that is just overturning, you know, precedent, closed cases, and they're just like, ah, fuck it, whatever. I mean, you've got congressmen right now talking about, yeah, I think interracial marriage should be taken back to the states. You know what happens if you do that? Like, are you serious? Like, I'm not sure that case wouldn't fly considering their views on these last few cases.
To bolster a point that you said, you would think of anything if you're Republican in this country. Seeing the current makeup of the court right now, you would want to bolster the court strength. Like, you would want to make sure that their rulings are respected, because they're very likely to rule for things in ways that you want them to. And so you want those rulings to be affirmed and respected. And this is like the one ruling that, you know, like we were shocked when we saw this ruling that we're just like, I can't believe that fucking Kavanaugh and Barrett and John Roberts were like, no, this is too racist. Of course, fucking Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito voted to uphold those maps because fucking go figure. Yeah. But like,
Clarence
but
like, is no, like, they were, yeah. Could this be more racist? Is there any way we could like, perhaps, you know, like, I don't know, make the district even smaller? Like, I don't know.
Clarence Thomas wanted to draw the map where you have like you separate into like the white districts and then you just draw little circles around the black people that just go with the corresponding districts that aren't actually connected.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to isolate them that much further. But no, like, but yeah, but you're just like, no, like we, you know, and some of this is I get the sense that some of this is some fucking hyper federalist bullshit. Like, oh, we're not gonna let the fucking federal government tell us what to do here in our state. You know, like that fucking dumb shit that fucking southern states especially love to stick right up their ass because that's their whole fucking brand is yeah. Like, we don't do what the fucking government tells us. Now let's succeed and get our ass kicked in a fucking war.
I mean, yeah, when you nailed it, you nailed it. Yeah, it was so. Only 5 years. Yeah, so look, man, it poses a very serious question. Are we listening to the Supreme Court or we're not? I mean, look, ask Republicans. We'll see. I'm very interested to see where this goes. I really am. Here's the thing I'm not happy to see at all. Apparently, Florida is in a race to the fucking bottom against nobody.
Texas is going to try to stick their fucking cowboy boot into this race, I'm sure, as we've talked about before. Florida taking an unforced error, as we like to say.
I got to tell you, between oak trees and cars, they're really not finishing the jobs that they were assigned. Okay. So apparently Ron DeSantis got into a car accident and was fine. way to not try. Prager University, Prager U, it is not a university. Prager U says Florida teachers approved to use its class curriculum. And rightfully so, the Daily Beast puts the word curriculum in quotes. That is correct. The right-wing advocacy group PragerU, infamous for publishing nationalistic videos, and its founders hate for Pride Month, said Monday that its breadth of its PragerU Kids material was approved by Florida to be used in classrooms throughout the state. Look, let me tell you something. If I walked into my daughter's class and I saw some PragerU bullshit, I'd be like, it's time to go. We're leaving. I'm now going to be head of the PTA because I'm going to be an obnoxious PTA parent. Why are you telling my kid this dumb shit? These are the same people that told you that the Civil War was over states' rights, but then when you ask them about states' rights, they just go, commerce.
Yeah. States' right to do what? States' right to do what? Finish the sentence.
finish it. Yeah, no, the PragerU, what's Prager's first name? What's that guy's name?
Dennis Prager.
Dennis Prager. That guy, yeah. I'm not trying to be an asshole. I really am not. I'd tell you if I was. That guy seems like real dumb, right? Like he seems really dumb and he says really dumb things. I know Candace Owens is like a PragerU person, right? Charlie Kirk with his ever shrinking face, man. He's one of them.
Jay, you don't rise to the rank to the high ranks of being a Republican intellectual by being smart.
I mean, the top public intellectual for the right burned Barbie dolls this past weekend like a fucking child.
I feel like this lead got buried because Florida also did something even more egregious recently, and that is where they are passing apparently it's now cool and you should definitely talk about in your education curriculum when you talk about slavery how slavery was cool actually and teached black people all sorts of great work skills that they could use when they were when once they were free.
Brad. Look, I'm in a new space and I don't have my sound blankets up, so I'm going to try not to get too fucking mad about that. Dude, what the entire fuck?
Jay, I don't think you're giving them enough credit for this. I think that you're about to get real angry, and I don't think that it's very fair because it's not like they passed it in February.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, they didn't do it out of respect. I mean,
amazing amounts of restraint by the Florida.
They were like, I want to do it. I really want to do it in February. They're like in January 31st. They're just like rubbing their hands together. Like, tomorrow's the day, baby. Let's go. That is some of the most deeply offensive shit I've ever heard. Like, oh, well, they gained skills. Oh, did they? You know, they could have gained those skills while not being like violently raped and tortured and having their families separated and all that. If you wanted to bring black people here to teach them how to be blacksmiths, which is the thing they keep saying over and over over again, because there's a lot of blacksmithing going on.
It's right. No one forged metal until they got to the American South in the 18th and 19th century.
Yeah. Africans. No metal to be found. All in Africa. None whatsoever. That's right. What the fuck are you talking about? But like this idea that slavery, well, I mean, it was not the best, but like, you know, you learn a lot of skills. Cool. All right. Well, you sign up then. Let's get 400 years of you working for free, and we get to beat the shit out of you. We get to steal your wives, kill your children, murder your pregnant mothers, like, you know, do whatever the fuck we want to do. Shove you in boats, treat you like garbage, right? Take you away from everything you know.
Make you work in fucking, you know, 100 degree heat for 15 hours a day.
I mean, you know, like, pick your poison of all the horrendous things of having to black people under slavery, right? Bring you to a foreign land, force a religion on you that tells you that being a slave is a good thing, right? Like, this type of shit. All of that being said, if you truly believe that they benefited from it, why are you working so hard to stop teaching the rest of African American history? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you only want to teach slavery wasn't that bad. The couple of them became blacksmiths. Like, again, they're very obsessed with blacksmithing. I don't know why. Maybe they just saw The Witcher and they're like, swords are cool. Right? And they are. They focus on that, but they don't. But then when you're like, okay, cool, like, here is a black person, you know, outside of slavery who was like a famous mathematician, or this person was a famous, you know, scientist or whatever, and they're like, no talk of black people. Like, so you only want to see black people talked about in the context of slavery and how it was like pretty cool for like manual labor skills. But when it's about black intelligence and black people, you know, doing it for themselves and shit like that, immediately that's unacceptable, right? Like, that's that not only is it like unacceptable, like, they go out of their way to smash it down, right? Like, the mere mention that a black mathematician founded this like black math society, they ban the entire book. Like, they just banned the book. They were like, nigger with math. No way. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's insane, right? So it's bizarre to me. It's really, really bizarre to me that they're pretending, right? Like, that this is like, oh, no, we're doing this. We brought in a couple of scholars, and this is what they said. Really? I'd like to see the names of those scholars, right? Like, I'd love to hear their thoughts on all of these, you know, all of these thoughts. Then you saw an interview with DeSantis getting called out about this. They're like, dude, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I mean, it wasn't me. I mean, this is why these other people doing it, blah, blah, blah. I trust them. Like, he's mealy mouthed over.
Famously, Harry Truman, he is not.
Yeah, like the buck does not, in fact, stop with
the buck stopped way over there. Like, I had nothing to do with this at all.
That other fucking guy's got the buck, man. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
To me, that's just, it shows the sort of like pathetic nature of it all, right? Like, it's really quite pathetic. And so,
again, you're also missing a point of this that I don't think we talk about enough, and I understand why you don't talk about it all. I'd be happy to bring it up, though. There's this weird, like, it's almost like white people in the South especially can't come to grips with, like, oh my God, like, maybe my ancestors were pieces of shit. That I think goes along with this as well. Like it's this difficulty to confront the savagery that they participate mm-hmm. under, because they think that somehow the sins of their, you know, their ancestors reflect poorly on them. And it's like, no, dude, the fact that you're racist reflects poorly on you. Like if your, you know, great 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 grandfather was a fucking slave owner, and you were out here. Yeah, you were out here like yeah, racism, like, that was really fucked up. Like, I hope we never get to that again. Like, and you know, fucking, you know, we should have a fucking equitable society for all races. People would be like, yeah, but your fucking great 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 grandfather was a fucking slave owner. You fucking racist. Like, that's not gonna fucking happen. I mean,
look, even if it does, like, you got to eat that and just be like, okay, but that's not me, right? Like, yeah. Here's the thing. That argument never works on people who are being positive and in on the right side of history. Like, they'll be like, some like, oh, well, this I forget who it was. It was like a black person. They were, oh, it might've been Kamala Harris. And they were like, mm-hmm. well, we did research and it turns out, like, Kamala Harris's, like, great, great grandfather, you know, like, back whatever amount of generations, you know, like, they owned slaves. And people are just like, okay, like, obviously she didn't, and obviously she doesn't advocate for the fucking policies and the bullshit of that. She speaks out against it. And then you know what that story did? It died. Because there's nothing, there's no argument. Well, did you know that? Like, bitch, I'm related to them. I didn't fucking choose that. What the fuck? Like, but if you're screaming about, like, the South will rise again, and then they're like, yeah, you're, you know, ancestor was fighting for, you know, to keep slavery. Yeah, it does not look good on you because you are matching their same viewpoints. Like, right. That's the point, right? Like, if you're on the other side of the issue, nobody gives a fuck. What the fuck can you do? That's not okay. Your eighth back grandfather was a piece of shit. All right, mine probably was too. Like, at some point, somebody related to was a dick. Like, it's just inevitable. Now, some of us, you know, there are degrees, obviously. But, like, there's nothing you can do about that. That's the sins of the father type of thing is a very, like, that's kind of a very basic thought process. But it's like, you're not responsible. You're not personally responsible for the actions of your ancestors during the Civil War or what have you. But if you are touting the same shit, like, South is great because we own slaves and stuff like that, well, then, yeah, people are not going to be none too pleased, right? Like, I don't understand. I've never understood that that perspective of, like, not wanting to admit that. Like, if they were pieces of shit, dude, they were pieces of shit. Like, they just were, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean,
it's and you should, like, if that is your ancestry, you should be ashamed of it. Like, yeah, go take a fucking crash course from Germany. Like Germans fucking 7 years later still feel incredible amounts of shame from the Holocaust, even though they weren't there when that shit happened. You know what I mean? Like they were all born after the fact.
Right.
But they're just like, yeah, like our ancestors were huge pieces of shit. What fucking assholes. Like, we're still really sorry about that.
Right. And it's like, that's not their fault. And nobody is like, yeah, but you're like, you say you're a good person, but what about this? Like, no. And yeah, there are going to be people like that. Welcome to the fucking internet. Those people are dumb, right? Like, that's not your fault. But again, if you're like, yeah, Heil Hitler, fucking, if you're Paul Gosar and you're like, stand up for Hitler, like, quite literally is what he's doing now. If you're doing that, then people go, yeah, that guy's a fucking Nazi. By the way, I'm pretty sure Paul Gosar is a fucking Nazi. Like,
I think Ron DeSantis, or at least his social media manager, might be a fucking Nazi, because apparently he just released an ad that has, like, neo-Nazi imagery in it.
Yeah, they had
good job, Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. So look, man, it's
here's the moral of the story. If you have kids, apparently don't move to fucking Florida. And if you live in Florida and have kids, get the fuck out of Florida, because your kids are going to be dumb, probably, if they go to a Florida public school.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's 100% it. Like, they're going to be stupid, and you should probably not want that. Just as a general precaution.
And if you don't believe me, go watch some PragerU videos. They're on YouTube and they're free, and you can check them out to your heart's content and see the kind of shit that they want to sling to your kids in Florida schools.
Nah, man, fuck that. No, Miami seems like a really cool place to live. I would never live there for that very reason, because it is in the state of Florida. Get the fuck out of here. Now, raising my daughter to be some sort of ignoramus. Next up, Ron DeSantis has already blown 40% of his campaign donations on private jets and fancy campaign dinners. God damn, I haven't even read this story. Jesus Christ.
And today, fired a third of his campaign, of his full-time staff.
We're doing great.
I'm picturing the fucking butterfly meme, and it's like the DeSantis campaign fired 30% of staff. Is this winning?
What a fucking moron. Good. I mean,
we're speeding headlong towards the 2024 version of Please Clap, and it's coming sooner than you think.
Come on, guys. I can't wait for that first debate. It's going to be amazing. Have they scheduled the first debate yet? Like, I need a.
I think so. Let me Google that real quick while you're talking about how the DeSantis campaign is floundering.
Yeah. I mean, you got to love it. Ron DeSantis' campaign advisors took the rare and sometimes fatal step of acknowledging mismanagement of Florida governor's presidential bid this week, as a report to reveal that he is burning through cash with little to show for it. Florida governor's top staff and advisors were in Utah on Sunday. Good place. Cause you know, you got to really soap the Republican, votes in Utah. I mean,
look, August 23rd is the answer to your question.
Oh, can't wait. I mean, no offense, but you ain't getting those votes in Utah, dude. Those people are fucking nutballs. Burning through 40% of your money is not a good look. But I think the firing of a third of his staff is worse. They're doing a campaign reset. I got to tell you, this weekend rebranding... that is a sign that things are not going well. Okay.
No, six weeks in and you're just like, we got to blow it up. It's not working. We got to shift gears. Their new strategy, by the way, according to
Are they going
to
change the campaign to the X strategy? I hear that's a really popular rebrand these days.
I mean, if he, you know, he's smart, he would listen to his BFF, to make that happen. But, his campaign has decided, they're going to let Ron be Ron.
Oh, wait, you weren't kidding about that? Like, that's a real quote?
No, dead serious. yes, let's let the guy who has turned off potential donors and voters at every turn once his mouth opens, to just let him be himself. And that's going to be a great strategy.
Like, but it's... The problem with let Ron be Ron is, like, his personality is the thing people don't like about him.
Yes.
It's the talky parts. Like, what the fuck, man?
That is what they call irony, Jay.
Dude, the brand awareness is not going well here. Let Ron be Ron is hilarious. It should be like, let's do anything but let Ron be Ron, please, for the love of God. Our guy sucks.
Like I said, they should look at alternate strategies. I know they made fun of like Biden hiding in a basement during COVID and like run a campaigning from his basement, but maybe they should just lock Ron DeSantis in a basement and not let him come out.
It's not a bad strategy. It's not a bad look. Work for Joe. Like it's,
yeah,
it's, I'm amazed that their take from this is we need more of Ron DeSantis talking. Like you do not. Also, you're riding this whole woke thing into oblivion. It's a political oblivion. This is why you're truly losing. Like, one, it's your personality. It fucking stinks. That's one big part of it. The other part of it is, hey, dude, no offense, but only nutcases in Florida are impressed by your anti-woke behavior. You think that shit's going to rock on a national stage to tell 59 million new eligible voters that everything that they believe in is woke and dumb and, you know, is bad? Oh, did you like the Barbie movie? Oh, it's fucking woke. Do you talk to girls? It's fucking woke. Are you allowing women out of the kitchen? It's fucking woke. Have you met a black guy? It's fucking woke. Like, that's all they do. Like, no, it's like everything is fucking woke. It's so stupid that you are saying it so often that it means nothing anymore. Right? It just doesn't mean it. You're just like when you hear him talk about stuff, you're like, what the fuck are you even saying? Like, you're saying the woke mind virus. You're an adult man. You're an adult man. What are you talking about? Like, this is not Twitter. You're an adult. Like, it's one thing to see, like, an account with an anime fucking avatar talk about the woke mind virus on Twitter. You're like, oh, this guy's got a blue check. This person's a fucking moron. Right? They're probably 12. This is a grown man. You're the governor of one of the largest states in the union. You're like, oh, you guys checked out the woke mind virus? We got to stop that thing. And then you're like, okay, you're not a serious person. Like, you're not a serious person. And neither is the dumbass doing the rebranding over at Twitter either. He's not a serious person. He's just not.
I have to imagine, like, Ron DeSantis gets offered like a cup of coffee by somebody, and he's, you know, and he looks in the corner and he sees a Keurig machine. He's like, I'm not gonna allow you to push your woke agenda on me with your woke coffee that you're trying to get in my hands. Woke. I don't think so. Me and the citizens of Florida aren't gonna stand for that.
I wish I understood it. I wish I understood the logic, because it's not working, right? The woke shit, it's not fucking working, man. You just seem silly. I don't get it.
Like I said, we were all wrong. Like I said, we thought he'd be the guy, and again, we just got another jab. We just didn't. Ironic, really. Like I can't believe we're shocked that a former Florida the Florida governor is face planting on his face in a presidential campaign. But here we are again.
Yeah, we should have known. We fucked up. I just, dude, saying the woke mind virus out loud is fucking wild. Like, unironically, is crazy. Like, on television, people are recording, dude. Come on, man. But he's like, nah, that's what I'm gonna hit him with the big guns. I was like, all right, dude. Like, I'm gonna take down Disney. Are you sure about that? Like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Dude, I saw that somebody. Somebody said, this is how weird the world we live in, by the way, when it was like Ron DeSantis in a car accident, but he was okay. And somebody's like, oh, looks like the CIA's at work. Or it's a car accident and it's fine. Like, also, if the CIA was
if the CIA was trying to derail the DeSantis campaign, they would just hand him a microphone. That appears to do the trick.
They're like, sir, your boot, sir. What the fuck are you talking about, man? I was just amazed by that. Oh, the CIA. I'm like, one, dude, the CIA used to throw people out of helicopters, okay? Like, if they want to get to Ron DeSantis, crashing a car ain't going to be it. They're not going to crash a Kia into his car. They're going to do something way more damaging, which would be cool. Whatever. I mean, like, if they want to. Like, I'm not a CIA guy. If they wanted to do it, they could do it. Yeah, so his campaign is going swimmingly. Every week, I like reporting on his failures.
on DeSantis watch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Watching it just like, what is it? Like, what is the saying? Fuck. Like going down the toilet bowl, like circling the bowl.
Oh, circling the drain. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Circling the drain 2020. Circling the drain watch 2024. The Ron DeSantis campaign. Shit. Sorry. Next up, Biden admonishes Republicans. Oh, we talked about this. The Emmett Till. We talked about this offline, actually. Biden is making the Emmett Till National Monument. Basically, they've had to replace it a number of times where he was said to have been found. He was pulled out of the river. In Mississippi, but they are doing three sites that will span Illinois, Mississippi, for the Emmett Till and Mammy Till Mobley National Monument. Look,
I had no idea that they had like a monument where his body was found after he was murdered. That had literally been destroyed like three previous times. Like the first time, like they cut, like people cut it down. And then like the two times after that, they just fucking shot it up with gunfire, essentially, which again, like, you know, Hey, Mississippi, like you're not doing a great job of shedding that racist stereotype.
They are not, they really aren't. I want to say that this is a move by Biden. I think that's very smart, and I truly do think it's smart, right? Like, it points out the difference between him and what the Republicans are doing, especially when it comes around like learning about African American education, like quite literally in multiple Republican states, including Florida, like we just talked about. They don't want to talk about these stories. They don't want to talk about Emmett Till, right? Like, you want to talk about sort of the Santa Clausification white version of Martin Luther King, right? Like, oh, he said everybody get along, everybody hugged, and then racism was over, right? Did he get shot? Ah, we don't worry about that. Anyway, moving on, right? And then we got to the 80s and everything was fine. And they barely want to touch on other things in African-American history except for our apparently our love and our long storied history of blacksmithing. And... we just can't get enough.
You know, that's where the name came from, Jay, originally.
Yes, that's true. That's
true. It used to be called smithing.
And then, yeah. They were like, there's a lot of black dudes doing this. Like, let's change the name. Like, these black guys can't get enough of this smithing. We were like, I think we can dedicate this to them. Like, let's give them an inch here. That's how we got the name. It's funny. But so needless to say, that just really threw my point completely off.
Sorry. but you know, it's fine. No, it's smart of Biden to dedicate this memorial
It's smart of Biden, right? And look, for another reason, which is there are a lot of people, I won't even say a lot, but there are a number of people, black folks, who say that Biden hasn't done anything specifically for black folks. Having a national, making this not a monument, but a national monument, because that comes with a lot more protections and things like that behind this. For Emmett Till, of all people, who was not a civil rights leader, this is not like a national monument for like Medgar Evers or something like that, which would also be amazing and probably needed, doing a national monument for Martin Luther King, obviously, which was done a number of years ago. But to do this for Emmett Till, who was a victim of the time, who was a 14-year-old boy who was a victim of racism, who was a victim of, you know, brutality and stuff like that at the hands of racists, to hold him up as a national monument, so that quite literally the opposite of what black people are always told, that you should never forget this, right? We're told to never forget 9/11, to never forget the Holocaust, and that those things are valid. I am not taking anything away from them. But when it comes to slavery, it's like, get the fuck over it. Or black brutality, get the fuck over it. It was a million fucking years ago, right? Like, no, the fuck it wasn't, right? So the idea that we are doing this honoring of this kid and his mother, who was brave enough. I mean, I don't know if you know a lot of the story around Emmett Till, right? Like,
I do.
Yeah. A lot of people know the basic story, but like the idea that his mother actually had an open casket for him, so that people could see what they did to her son, right? Like, that's a level of bravery I cannot imagine, that I could not muster. I don't think I could as a parent. I just don't in that situation. I don't. But
well, for people that aren't familiar with the story, like, after, so the people who abducted and then later murdered him were not even indicted for kidnapping, even though they admitted it in court before the indictment that they had kidnapped him, and then they were acquitted for murder. And then literally within weeks of being acquitted, they did an interview with a magazine where they're just like, yeah, we fucking killed him. Of course we did. It was awesome.
Yeah. And that's fine. Like, no big deal. And then, of course, the woman lied and admitted it later in life that she'd lied and got this young boy killed. Right. Cause that's how you do it down in Mississippi back then. So I give Biden all the credit here. Like, I think this is a good move. I think it's a good move politically, but I also think it's a good move just from a humanitarian standpoint. Like,
yep,
you shouldn't forget this shit. Like, this wasn't a million years ago. This did not happen at the turn of the fucking century. This is, there are people who are very much still alive.
And that's what's funny about that is because to hear people talk about it, you could be forgiven for thinking that this happened around like the Civil War. You know what I mean? Like I've heard it spoken about as like, oh, this is so ancient. Like it could have happened in the 1800s. No, this literally happened like as the article that we have open here points out, Joe Biden was 10 years old when this happened.
Right. Like my aunt was alive. Like my aunt's like was born in, I think like 53. Like she was alive or she is alive. Like what the fuck, man? Like this is not ancient history. This is very much modern history, right? Like this, mm-hmm. And you shouldn't forget these things. So, I give Biden a lot of credit.
Well, I know that you said that Emmett Till is not a civil rights leader, obviously, but he is a civil rights icon. Like his story is probably one of the most well-known stories of people who were, especially in the later stages of Jim Crow, who were subjected to that sort of thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, 100%. So for people who often say Biden hasn't done anything specifically for black people, this is one of them. Right. And I know they'll fucking walk that off too and be like, but what about like, no, this is a legitimately very good thing. More of this, please. All right. Next up, Brad, let's take a trip to Israel.
Yeah, let's do. So for those of you that aren't aware of Israeli politics, they don't have a constitution.
By the way, if you're not aware of it, that's because you're an anti-Semite.
Jesus Christ. They don't have a constitution like we have, where it very specifically spells out like what the powers that each branch of government has designated to them to provide checks and balances on the other. Right. And so Israel also has a parliamentary system. Their parliament's called the Knesset. And they can pass laws. And Israel also has a Supreme Court that can review the laws that are passed by the parliament. And if they find that it runs counter to like what's good for Israeli society, essentially, they can overturn it. They're kind of the check on the parliament, even though there's no official constitution to set this up. So Bibi Netanyahu, of course, got reelected to be Israel's prime minister last year, if I'm not mistaken. And one of the first things that he wanted to do is he wanted the parliament to pass a law that stripped this power away from the Supreme Court in Israel. And his justification for this was, oh, these are unelected judges and they shouldn't have a say on legislative affairs. And yada, yada, yada. What this also has the side effect of doing is making it so anything that Parliament passes cannot be legally challenged and struck down by an oversight authority. And oh, by the way, the way that you become prime minister in a fucking parliamentary system is by having a coalition of government that will basically do whatever you tell them to do. Having a coalition of parliament members that will do what you tell them to do. So essentially, Bibi Netanyahu wants kind of, you know, dictatorial control in many ways.
Over, to be a dictator, of course.
To over laws that are passed in the country, which could maybe include, throwing out his trial for corruption that he is going to be facing at some point here in the coming months.
This is a direct offshoot of the sort of push for consolidation of power and things like that we have seen under the Republican Party. Trump also being a corrupt guy and trying to knock down his cases, right, from inside the government. This is why when they say if the United States president does something fucked up, it affects the rest of the world. This is what they're talking about. There is a direct downstream because all the other little petty, shitty potential dictators go, ooh, they're doing it in the U.S.? I'm going to try it in my place too. Like, it's cool over there. Like, that's why you don't do that. You're supposed to set an example, a proper example.
And Israeli citizens, this legislation got signed on Monday, and people are pissed. They are marching in Jerusalem. They're marching in Tel Aviv to protest this. There are apparently thousands of military reservists that said that they would resign if this was not struck down, because the country that they volunteered to serve was a democracy, and this would make Israeli inherently anti-democratic. And the other the biggest problem is not necessarily the law per se, but it's what the Likud party is going to be doing now that the law has passed. Like, right. Possibilities like stripping, you know, rights and voting power from Arab Israelis, moving settlements into the West Bank to make it much more difficult to establish a second state in Israel, things of that nature. Basically just like hammering down on their political enemies.
Yeah, in many look, ways. I'm not a fan of right wing. I'm not a fan of right wingers here in the US or there in the US. I'm not a fan of right wingers anywhere. And it's the same playbook. It's the same fascist playbook that you're seeing with the Republican Party, and you're seeing it play out here. Netanyahu, for some reason, is just a turd that will not flush. Like, he just keeps coming back.
He's been around so long.
I'm like, dude, get a new fucking guy. God damn. And it's funny because he is a prime example of not learning your lesson, right? How many times do you need to elect this guy to have things continually go bad and continually to be stymied before you realize that it's him? It is him. He is going to constantly push for what is ultimately perpetual war, right? It is all ultimately these perpetual conflicts with Arabs in that area. Not that it doesn't exist and it only exists because of Netanyahu. I'm not saying that. I'm not that naive. But you can't constantly build settlements and just be like, everything's going to be fine. Like, you're not having any level of compromise. You're not talking. You're not negotiating at all. You're just building settlements and then just going, fuck you, I dare you to blow them up. And you're putting Israelis in danger, and you're purposely trying to goad into a fight instead of trying to actually negotiate and trying to work together. It's already hard enough. It's ridiculous.
It's ironic that we talked about racism and the motivating factor in right-wing politics in this country. Don't get it twisted that the reason why this guy keeps, you know, rising from the fucking dead over and over again isn't, like, there's a lot of racism in there as well. There's a lot of Israelis who have an issue with Palestinians, who don't want them to have the same rights, who don't want them to have the same, you know, political power that they do in Israel. And Netanyahu's party is the one that really advocates and for those positions to keep those people down.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's why he's coming back, because they'll get someone that's a little bit further left wing. And again, not that the left wing in Israel is super pro Palestine either. They're not, but they're not as overtly anti Palestine as a lot of the right wing parties are in that government. So,
yeah, I agree with you. Yes. Yep.
And again, it's a tricky situation for the U.S. because whether you think he should or not, Joe Biden can't come out and just obliquely criticize Netanyahu. You just kind of can't do it, unfortunately. I wish he would too, but I don't think it's a realistic ask for the American president.
Even if you do, you have to. It has to be a real light touch, right? It has to be.
Yep.
So or you get let's get real. Or you get labeled a fucking anti-Semite, and it's like, okay.
Well, either that, or the other thing you have to worry about is tensions with other countries in that part of the world. There are plenty of other countries that, like, if they anticipate the U.S.-Israeli relationship's not quite as good, that could invite a lot of bad shit to come in Israel's way as well. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Next up, This Week in Stupid.
Jesus Christ.
Look, I got to tell you, man, on my bucket list, seeing Hunter Biden's hog at the at a House committee meeting is just like not it. Like, I just don't want to see it. Hunter Biden dick enthusiast Marjorie Taylor Greene, representative from Georgia.
It's how I won her. It's how I won her titled from now on.
Biden hog
Hunter, enthusiast. Biden penis obsessor Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Can't get enough. She's like, I can't go to sleep at night without taking a couple of swigs of
fun fact that people don't realize pictures. this blown up poster of Hunter Biden's dong that she brought into Congress with her, she actually just took that down from her wall at home. Like, she has a picture of that tweet hanging up at home.
No,
it's part of her normal house decorations.
Brad, that's rude. It's uncouth, and it's simply not true. She keeps it on the ceiling. Like, come on, dude. There you go. come on. Knock it off. Representative and boner enthusiast Marjorie Taylor Greene briefly sent Wednesday's House oversight hearing into chaos when she displayed nude photos of President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, engaging in sexual activities, prompting committee Democrats to deem her latest and attention-grabbing stunt inappropriate. Wednesday's hearing was centered on the testimony of two IRS whistleblowers who alleged that the criminal probe into Hunter Biden, which resulted in a plea deal on tax charges, was mishandled by the Justice Department, who they claim gave preferential treatment to the younger Biden. No offense, but obviously they did. Obviously they gave preferential treatment. Frankly, if Donald Trump's dumb idiot sons didn't get preferential treatment in a basic IRS tax case, I'd be shocked. I'd be like, you're not very good at presidenting. By the way, I don't need Hunter Biden to spend 30 years in jail for like writing off the wrong thing.
For not paying his taxes and lying on a fucking gun application. Like,
yeah, okay. Like, who gives a fuck, dude? He's not running for president. Like, this shit's so irrelevant.
Nor has he ever run for any political office, nor will he probably ever run for any political
office. And that's, trust me, that's totally fine. For the first few hours, the hearing largely went as expected. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene got up and she was like, take a look at this dick. You got to see it. And here's the thing.
Well, does it mention, because I didn't see the context. What was her rationale for doing it?
I don't know.
Other than she really is infatuated with Hunter Biden's penis.
I think she wants to see the dick. Like, it's really weird, right? Because I want to make fun of Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I will continue to do so. But at the same time, I feel slightly sorry for her because I think her brain is broken. Like, I think it's broken. And I think maybe she hit it with a dumbbell at one point or something.
I was wondering where you're going with that. So.
Yeah, like, I just, just trying to say it as nicely as I could. I really think she's a mental case. I truly believe that. And I just want her to go to jail for revenge porn. Like, I really do, because I feel like that's a really good thing.
We're having a good time, clowning on Marjorie Taylor Greene. I literally heard Daniel Goldman describe the stunt as her beclowning herself, which is a term that I don't think it's used enough. I think beclown is a great word.
That's good.
But at the same time, on a very serious note, a sitting United States congressman flashed revenge porn of a private U.S. citizen in a Senate hearing. And that's a serious fucking problem.
I mean, they got sued, like Fox News got sued for a massive defamation suit, right? Marjorie Taylor Greene could definitely be sued by the Bidens for showing his private...
Sure.
Images like that's unacceptable. And look, apparently she might have sent it to kids as well, like, because she had like emailed it out and like there were kids on like some email list or some shit like that. So that's not good, but I'm not even mad at that. Like, not that I think it's acceptable, but like, whatever, that's a clear mistake. you did this on purpose. Like, you showed it in a public forum on purpose. This has nothing, him having a sex act has literally nothing to do with IRS anything. You can go ham on all the IRS shit and be like, he didn't pay his taxes and needs to pay and blah 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 blah. You're well within your right to do that. But what you're not well within your right is to show nude photos of the guy, because it's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. This is completely irrelevant. So, like, okay, you can show them. If I'm Hunter Biden, I'm gonna sue your ass. Like, I'm gonna straight up sue your ass. Like, and guess what? I'm not gonna go easy, because that's a slam dunk case. What the fuck did I do? Those are my private images that you somehow got a hold of. And look, granted, they're out there publicly, but you can't just show them to anybody who's watching fucking C-SPAN, dude. Like, that's unacceptable mm-hmm. behavior. And there are very, very much anti-revenge porn laws. So yeah, no, you should. She should pay for that.
Yeah. But yes, she will, no doubt she will continue to beclown herself on a daily basis in the House. Look, I will say this. I don't think she's the front runner for VP anymore. I think she's having too much fun doing what she's doing right now. Yeah, I think she truly sees herself as like the next Jim Jordan, basically.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I guess.
She sucks. She absolutely sucks.
Yes. Yeah, she does. Like, that's wild, man. That is super wild. But, you know.
Like this is literally, like, I get that they're not smart enough to kind of go back into the history and understand why this is fucked up. This is like some Joe McCarthy shit. That they're all on right now.
Yeah,
as
like,
far as this stuff goes.
What is the end game?
Yeah,
that's my question. What is the end game? Is the end game
I think the end game is they're going to try to impeach Joe Biden. Spoiler alert: that's not going to go well for you, one way or the other. Either you're going to fail spectacularly, which is just as likely, or you're going to put a lot of really vulnerable Republicans in really dicey positions, potentially before an election. Yeah. Which doesn't seem like a good idea. Do you think all those purple district New York Republicans really want to have to take a Joe Biden impeachment vote, before an election? I don't think so. I don't think that would go well for them at all.
Nope.
Either way, like they're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Yeah.
In that situation.
I don't understand the logic here, but. Look, go ahead. The last time you tried to impeach a Democratic president, how'd that work out? You got him right in your sights, and then you turned the gun and shot yourself in the face. Like, all right, cool, man. Joe Biden is pretty fucking popular all in all, and his economy is rolling really well. But you know what? If you want to do some like fantasy fucking corruption case, meanwhile, your guy is like literally corrupt and like it is obvious. All right. Yeah, every accusation is an admission, so that's fine.
Yep.
You dumb fucks.
And apparently they're also trying to like expunge or they're thinking about trying to expunge Trump's impeachments from like the record, which apparently is not a thing.
No, of course.
It would literally just be like a performative vote. Like, you can't officially like scrub that from the record. For the congressional record.
Right. And it's also already in the court of like public memory.
Right.
Like, no, Trump wasn't impeached. Yes, the fuck he was.
Yeah.
Twice. Right. And if he was, God like, forbid,
I was there,
he was elected
I remember
again.
It happening. It was, right. It was awesome.
It was awesome. I loved it. I was a huge fan. And God forbid, if he's ever elected again, he will be impeached probably more than twice. Like, he will be impeached four or five times.
Especially in fucking the balls to the wall presidential term. Absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
The no fucks given term.
Oh, God. Disaster. Again, I don't know, man. Maybe Mexico was building that smart wall for a reason. They're like,
like you said, secrecy. Like, yeah, it's going to keep you guys out. Like, no, it's going to keep you guys out.
No, keep you in. You stay right over there. Yeah, talk all that shit. It's fine. I'll just say this. I'll just end it with this for video. I'll put on my sepia tone. Yeah, man. Like, it's lovely down here, and y'all stay up there.
No, dude, the irony is when I get caught smuggling myself across the Mexican border to try to hang out with you, like Andrew Trump has two more years at the wheel.
I'd be like, I don't know him. I don't know. Sorry.
Don't speak English.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's wild, but I do think like this idea that that you're gonna have a situation that if he's president again, then it'll work out. Like, dude, I'm not so sure it will. I think that guy will try to destroy this country. I really do. And if you think you're going to get him out after 4 years, you're not. He'd have to die. He'd have to die in office. Like,
which, you know, to be fair,
fingers crossed. I mean, you don't have to be in office to die. You can do that at home. Yeah. Like, you'd be good. Don't worry about it. All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode to look for.
Adios.
Thank you. I should have put you in sepia as well.
There you go.